jump up, let's get crazy. Jump up, let's get crazy. Welcome to the mid-round one Supercoach Coach podcast. I'm joined this week by FB Donkey.
G'day, everyone.
For this week's show, we're just going to look at the mid-prices and the rookies that are going to show up in this week of the opening round and discuss a few strategies. We're going to look at individual scenarios that might pop up for our listeners in week two of round one.
Any regrets from the first weekend?
Gotta say, probably the biggest regret at the moment is Daisy, just because it seems like he just isn't quite fit. I just assume that he wasn't giving it his all, maybe in the preseason, and that's just how he looks when he's tired. I know he tends to have a pretty exaggerated panting on the field, even when he was super fit at Collingwood, but he wasn't that present during the game. Yeah, and didn't score that well either, so he's a bit of a concern as a mid-price selection. You generally hope they start off well.
Yeah, you do. We'll see what he does against the Tigers, because he did show some glimpses in the preseason that he could dominate quarters. And yeah, maybe he can come back this week. And going to be an interesting clash, Carlton versus Richmond in round two. That's, I was very excited by my first weekend of footy. And then there's the big one, Buddy. I know a lot of people did leave him out in the end. Very disappointing first game. It was pouring down with rain up there, though. So you would expect him to improve.
Yeah, they had to take a pause on the game even, which I haven't seen before because of lightning concerns. So, yeah, it was just bucketing down, and I still have confidence that he'll turn it around. At least watch for another week on Buddy, as long as he doesn't put in a 20. How about you, mate? Any big concerns for you?
Made a very last-minute decision and brought Mark Murphy into my team, which nice. I'd said was a lock during the preseason, and he had a great first game, so that was really good. Very happy with my structure. Daisy, probably the biggest concern. It's very, very tricky to be trading a midfield mid-pricer in or out of your team, so could be a bit tricky. Hopefully he comes back and does all right.
This is why we tend to avoid them. Funny that he was our one mid-price lock, but he still has time to turn it around. And fortunately, he's not on that round eight bye. So there is quite some time to hold Daisy and hope he comes good, because, you know, he can score 140 at a critical time and earn you a pretty big upgrade. So jury is still out.
Looking forward, mate. Let's have a look at some players from this week.
So we'll start off in the back line, and it's probably the biggest area for discussion this week, I think, because Laidler's come through. We saw Martin get named in the Adelaide team as well, so he's certainly an option. And Giorgio, he got upgraded onto Melbourne's list. It just seems to be quite a few options. I think even Joel Tippett got elevated for North Melbourne, which was a surprise.
I wasn't surprised by Tippett at all. I heard really good things about him from the preseason. North were really happy on him, and not going to be a big Supercoach scorer. He's the round eight buyer player, but I think he'll be given a decent shot at North.
They just have good backline, especially tall backline depth at North, that he's done really well to break into the team.
At his third AFL club now.
And of course, KK, who killed it in the NEFL on the weekend. So you think a three rookie backline is a possibility this season, now that most of the team sheets are out?
I know we did it last year. I guess the thing about last year was we had players like Pittard and Goods, Turlick, players that were scoring really well. Two of those guys nearly went on to become keepers, or two of them did go on to become keepers. So I think that probably makes a bit of a difference. I don't know necessarily whether we've got that this year. I certainly don't expect Langdon to be scoring 110s every week. It'll be very interesting to see how Langford goes. I think that he could be quite a good pick. I think that the depth of rookie backs does probably make someone like Suckling a little bit less attractive, because you're paying $3.15 for someone, and unless he becomes a keeper, then he's going to turn out to be quite a poor pick, because you could have got someone averaging the same 5-10 points less for $130,000.
And that's why we've paired these mid-prices together with these rookies, because they're pretty relevant to structure. I guess most people have their premiums already locked in. We're going to talk a bit about the mid-prices now in the back line, and Suckling and Webster, the two obvious options that we've discussed in the past. Do you think Webster or Suckling looks better at this stage?
Good question. I think Suckling will probably score more. I have Webster ahead of him, just depending on whether you need the money or not. Webster seems like a solid pick there. I like his price a lot better, the $240,000. It's the sort of price where you can get out if you have to and you've got a decent amount of options. Whereas at $300,000, you've sort of cost yourself points in the rest of the field. You just don't have as many options, I don't think. Probably Webster just for me, but I don't hate either of the picks.
I also have Webster ahead on price. because of that, we're going to look at a couple more mid-price selections. These guys are a lot riskier, a lot more smoky, but we think we'll just toss them up anyway. The first is Mitch Brown from Geelong, and the only reason I bring him up is he's been named now in the forward line for us, so he's not actually playing in the back line anymore. He's playing in the forward line. Of course, he's been in the system for quite a few years, like 5 years or something. Last year, played in the VFL and was quite clearly a step ahead as a defender there, so he should be ready for AFL level. He just hasn't got an opportunity considering Geelong's depth. So he's a smoky, but again, very smoky selection. I'm assuming you're not
very smoky. Very smoky. The smoke alarm is going off.
The other would be Easton Woodmark. He's 214K from the Western Bulldogs. He, again, has spent quite a few years in the system, but has been very hampered by injuries, and last year didn't play many games at all. But he's in their best 22. I mean, he plays a rebounding defensive position, so there's a chance for him to do decently as well. Even though these two are quite risky selections, I think compared to Webster, I don't think Webster's significantly safer either. How he actually scores in the season proper when St Kilda may be struggling, maybe a little bit of an issue.
Yeah, no, you might be right there, mate. I think I've been a bit worried about Easton Woods scoring in the preseason. Scored 44, 35 and 87, so did have that good game in the end. His consistency really worries me. I think what excites me a little bit about Webster is he has a little bit more upside. Whereas Easton Wood, I think he's going to be restricted to about 60 as a maximum average. I don't think he's going to be doing a whole lot of the rebounding out of defense. You got Murphy back this week. Higgins is playing back. Johannesson looks really sharp off the back line for the Doggies. So, yeah, I think Easton Wood might struggle to get the points on the board. And Brown, yeah, that's just a Geelong thing, I think. But yeah, you're right that Webster is still an extremely risky pick. And if you're looking for safety, maybe Suckling is the best out of the group. Also much more expensive.
Considering the rookie options are so good, mightn't be too awful just to take a rookie in place. Or you can take more of a punt on the riskier options because you know there's room to maneuver down and have an extra week to look at the rookies. That's the back line. We're going to go to the midfield now, where the biggest news is, of course, no Matt Crouch for Adelaide. So we've got Tyson, Mishy, Ellis and Dunstan, who we've all talked about, who are likely to be named this week.
I would say almost every good side will have those four players in it.
But the two that we're going to talk about now are Aish and Templeton. Templeton was just upgraded onto their list during the week, so we assume he's going to get a game now. During the preseason, he played only 54% of game time, so he only scored 48 and 35. But, you know, if you're looking for a cheap priced option, maybe if you missed out on Cunningham but are still looking to take six midfielders, Templeton might be an option for you.
Yeah, look, he did look interesting during the preseason. He kicked a ripping goal, I think, in his first game that I remember. And he stands out with his long hair. Not a whole lot of other positive stuff to say about him, though, just in the sense that he's probably likely a fair chance to be a sub and might get some regular game time, but you think it's going to be affected by the sub vest at some stage. So, yeah, if you did miss Cunningham, I'd be trying to find the money for some of these more expensive rookies.
So Ace would be the guy that you're looking at then. I think, are there going to be any other options that come up through the week, do you think?
One of the options is, you've said that there's a lot of rookies come up in the back line. Another option is you could bring McDonald into your midfield and pick another one of those back line rookies if you needed to, especially Giorgio because he's so cheap. I think that opens up the dual position stuff, which is quite good. Aish is...
I like that a lot, actually, Mark. Good suggestion.
Very highly rated. Outside mid. He's expected to play every game from Brisbane. That's all the talk. Decent average during the preseason. If he could average maybe 75, that'd be a pretty good result. I mean, you're paying 190,000 for him, seems quite a lot. And I think that's why in my team, it was really Aish or Daisy. And Daisy for only 150,000 more seemed pretty good, but Aish might even work out better. So yeah, I think that he's probably a pretty solid pick in the midfield and should score you decent points and play consistently, which is a really good thing.
I think Aish should come in and out of my team quite a bit. And structurally, in the end, I passed on Aish for Cunningham because that money bought me a little bit extra, but absolutely I was trying very hard to get him into my team, Mark. Definitely recommend looking for the cash over Templeton because I think Aish over Cunningham's a lot closer than Aish over Templeton.
Is Allison Dunstan too strong for your bench?
Don't think so. I think it's a bit unfortunate that we have to spend so much money on the bench all over the ground. I think a lot of people going Rowan and McDonough as well in the forward line and stuff like that. But the rookie prices have just increased. So you're better off taking guys that are at least going to play and play well rather than try and squeeze value out because you want more money on field, but then get no return on investment because those two players got dropped or are scoring 30s because of the sub vest. So absolutely, I think go ahead and lock them in and don't try and scrounge those extra few dollars.
Now, as a Daisy owner, will you be looking at any other mid prices in the midfield closely this weekend?
No, I think because if I'm looking to trade Daisy, I think it'll probably be a downgrade because, like I said, I really like the backline rookies, so it'd probably be shifting McDonald to the midfield and picking up another defender, I think.
You do seem to be very happy with the backline rookies going around, mate.
Yeah,
I
well,
will be keeping a bit of an eye on Shields and McRae from the Doggies, probably more Shields.
sorry, just going back to the swapping McDonald into the midfield, that also opens up McDonald Langdon, so you do have McDonald still available to sub in for you in the back line if things get a bit weak because players have got dropped unexpectedly. But yeah, I think McRae was one that was mentioned in a previous podcast comment section, and I'll look out for him. But again, I think we talked about Daisy being the only mid-price midfielder that I wanted to take, and then turned out that even he potentially going to burn us. But I can absolutely understand that, if you don't want to change the structure of your team, that, yeah, I think McRae and Shields seem like two really good options, Mark.
All right, into the rocks, mate. Now, you mentioned at the start, I think, that McIntosh was named on the ground and Simpson an emergency. I guess if he was fully fit, he seemed like a fairly obvious pick, McIntosh. I don't know how someone that hasn't played football for 18 months is so expensive, to be honest, but at his price, is he someone that people should be considering? Because I have had a few people message me today and say, McIntosh, what do you think?
Yeah, I think the only reason that I'm really looking at him is just because he beat out Dawson Simpson. So Dawson, I thought, has had a better run into the season, and I think McIntosh only played a half game and then maybe one full one afterwards. But watching the games, he wasn't really storming into contention or anything. But the fact that they have chosen him as our number one ruck is a big tick of confidence, and the fact that they're happy with going with Blitzarves as a number two ruck has me a lot more confident on him, because there are not many ruckmen that have that genuine number one ruck spot sewn up. That's the only reason to pick him, is just that even though he's not got great form, at least he'll be on the ground a fair amount because he doesn't have a backup.
My biggest concern with McIntosh would be that he will get subbed and he will miss games.
Absolutely fair. I think you'd pick McIntosh with the hope that he gets a good run into the season and that you'd trade him out quickly, because Geelong have a round 8 bye anyway, so you'd probably be looking to trade him before then. So he really only needs to get through 7 games scoring well to be quite a good selection. So I can understand people
I
taking the
don't see
risk
him
on him.
doing that.
I wouldn't recommend him over Hickey, for example, but I can understand people taking the risk because they have a previous affinity to him, or because they've seen him at least score the premium scores, whereas Hickey hasn't yet. So I can see why people will take him. I don't think I'd discourage his selection. I just, he's very, very risky, that's all.
I guess the other thing is that they're playing Adelaide this week, and Adelaide also only have one ruckman with, I think they've gone with McKernan as a backup, whereas most teams are going to have two more genuine sort of ruckman in there. So maybe it might be something to do with that, the reason why Simpson isn't playing as well.
Good point, Mark. Why
Hickey
didn't
or
change?
McIntosh?
You have to watch team sheets again with Hickey to see whether Long is going to come into play.
I think if Long has suffered some sort of injury, so.
That's what I heard as well, that Hickey should be named by himself, and that's why he's on this run sheet, because I think if he's named by himself, he's a pretty good option. And the reason not to pick him in that scenario is that you don't want to have two mid-priced options in your rucks, as Mark this flag in our ruck episode. Having two mid-priced options does restrict you significantly if anything goes wrong with one of them.
Not for me, man. I think that Longa will play a bunch of games this year. I think that Hickey, there's a good chance he'll be the number one ruck for the year, but they'll definitely want to get game time into Longa. So that would concern me. And same with McIntosh, really, that he's not going to play every week, and I think just not fit enough. So I think that both of those guys are a no for me. I mean, it could work. It could work. That's very, very high risk approach there.
And last thing to talk about in the rucks is, if you picked Dierks last week, who are you going to pick out of Curry and Thurlow?
It's a really good question. What I do like about Thurlow is that he allows for some trading flexibility. You can use DPP this year to create quite a few complex trades. So that's something that quite entices me with him. But I think I'd take Curry. Curry's much more likely to play. The Bombers have made it very clear for a couple of months now that Thurlow would not be playing, even though Bell Chambers is out, and that they're going to go with Ryder and Danaher at least as the first bet. And then if something happens, then they might bring Thurlow in if they have to. But I think that they'd be quite happy for Ryder to ruck most of the game and Danaher to just give him a little bit of a chop out.
Agree with you there. If you have Thurlow, while the DPP trick is cute, if he gets swapped into your forward line and you don't have a ruck forward premium to alternate with him, you essentially have a dead player on your forward bench, and that can be quite dangerous. So Curry for me as well. To the forward line, Mark, and McCarthy just got named tonight in the forward pocket for Geelong.
That was expected though, wasn't it? Didn't Scott flag that a few weeks ago?
Yeah. But I guess the main thing is looking at the team sheets, it doesn't really look like he's going to be the sub. He's the only genuine small forward in our team now. And I remember talking about him when we talked about the rookies and saying to avoid him because he's a huge sub risk. But if he's named as our only small forward option because Smets and Burberry aren't ready, then he looks a lot more attractive. Again, I think I'd have Kennedy Harris, who we all are going to be looking at team sheets for, ahead of McCarthy. But for those people who are looking to extend to maybe having a rookie on field in the forward line, I certainly think McCarthy looks a lot better after the first team sheets have been named, because
scoring was pretty poor during the preseason.
Yeah, absolutely. The only reason to bring him in is if you're going to go with three rookie forwards.
At least you should make you some money. Is there any other rookies? Kennedy Harris, I guess we have to wait to team sheets. I think if team sheets come in tomorrow night and he is picked, then you should take him over McCarthy. I agree with that.
Having said that, Kennedy Harris and McCarthy are actually quite similar selections in that Kennedy Harris has that same sub risk, has that same potential if he's scoring playing as a small forward for Melbourne rather than for Geelong. So he's similarly risky, but definitely have him ahead of McCarthy. But he's got a similar type of risk. Just going to go through quickly some forward mid-prices. So we had Caddy and Higgins as two that we've talked about before.
Higgins, Locke, Caddy, not for me. Disposal efficiency too low.
And also round eight bye. Go throw up another couple of smokies. Again, these are the long-range shots like Brown and Wood. So expect Mark to maybe chuckle. But
Are these more Geelong players?
Oh, yeah. The Tomahawk. Of course, averaged 95 before. And if we're thinking that Caddy's ceiling's a bit limited by his disposal efficiency, you know, that's a bit of an issue because he then won't break out to true premium status. So you're looking at him as a step ladder. So if you're looking at a player as a step ladder, then maybe a key position forward like Hawkins could be better because he can score 140, kicking a big bag. And that's why I bring him up, because I think Caddy may actually beat Hawkins for an average, but Hawkins may be a better step ladder because of his high ceiling.
That's interesting. I think there's a good chance he'll average probably similar. Hawkins maybe a bigger upside. He did all right during the preseason. He's looked okay.
And the other one is, and I know this is crazy, but the Porpoise, again, super smoky. Don't expect anybody to really pick him up, so that's fine. Just want to say he played 60% game time for 129 points per minute, 55 in the first round where he was injured after like a half a footy, 111 and 89 in the next two NAB challenge. He's going to play in the midfield now. He was listed on ball during team sheets. They got Eddie Betts playing pretty much the same role. So he's a smoky. Again, round eight bye with Caddy. I think they're both selections that I'm not that keen on. And you can easily make a case that Caddy's a better selection than Paul Plesia, but he's a
you
smoky.
You want to put it on record that you picked him at the start, even though he's not in your team?
No, he's just a smoky. I'm putting it out there.
Not a ridiculous selection.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've brought up Varco in worse situations. He did score 129 points per 100 minutes, so that is a good scoring rate.
That is a very good scoring rate, and I could see him pushing decent numbers, especially with all the injuries to Adelaide at the moment.
Yeah, but he'll probably add to the injury list with his terrible injury history. That's also something to
good chance consider. Of that as well.
Yeah. Okay, so not all too much to talk about, Mark. We've already played half the games.
We've picked our structures. We've basically picked our teams. My team only changed because of the Johnson injury news that came through on the weekend, and I brought Laidler in, added an extra back rookie to my team, and added that extra midfield gun in Murphy. So a little bit worried about Murphy copying so much attention to his back on the weekend. But I mean, he scored very well, and his contested possession was just fantastic against Port Adelaide on the weekend, one of the few Blues that actually stood up. So happy with that change. But other than that, every player has stayed the same. So I'm just trying to keep the faith. Like, I kind of wish that I'd been locked out and I couldn't change anything.
Yeah, I think Murphy actually looks like a great selection, Mark. If he scores well again, maybe even a Thomas to Murphy. Personally, myself, I did the Suckling and Webster down to Laidler and McVeigh in my back line when Laidler came through. So I guess we both scrambled to get him back into our sides. And he was looking a bit shaky for a while there, Mark. I think he had like 15 points at halftime.
Yep, that seemed about right. And then just went nuts in a very contested game of football in the second half, especially that third quarter. He just had a huge quarter. That was one advantage of really staying tuned to social media and what was happening, and knowing that Alex Johnson had done his knee in the first quarter of the reserves game and that he was a direct opponent for Laidler for a spot in the team. That was a pretty lucky piece of information to get our hands on.
Made up for the pain of Langdon languishing on our benches. Though I gotta
but
say,
then, I mean, watching Langdon, and I mean, he scored that much. That's great that he scored that much, because it means that he will keep his spot, you'd think, for at least a couple of weeks.
And that was a really good surprise as well. Again, he had some serious composure playing in their back line. So very impressed by him as well.
And you were messaging me, I'm pretty sure it was 5 minutes before that game, asking whether you should be locking him in or not.
Yeah, got a bit panicky on him. Came through. All right, that wraps up this week's show. All the best for the last few games, and we'll catch you at the end of round one, where we have the first week of our scores.
Things are going to get serious.
All the best, guys.
See you later. Don't want to make you crazy. Don't want to make you crazy.